Bibles this evening in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53. Very familiar passage of God's word. And God has burned this in my heart this evening. And let's open our Bibles together, Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah the prophet said, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy presence this evening, and we thank thee for the grand old gospel of redeeming grace. We thank thee for thy love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank thee that he shed his precious blood to take away our sin. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Heavenly Father, I pray that thou wilt pour out of thy Spirit upon us. And, O God, cover the meeting now in the precious blood, in these very special moments, in the closing moments of our gathering. We pray that thou wilt speak to each and every one of our hearts. We pray this for Jesus' sake and for his glory. And, Lord, for the salvation of precious souls, we cry to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a verse in this passage of God's word that I want to leave you this evening. It's that very familiar verse number 5 of Isaiah chapter 53. It's concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, and it says this: "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." It has been rightly said, I believe, that Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the greatest chapters of the Old Testament on the gospel of Jesus Christ. If ever an Old Testament text revealed Christ, it certainly is Isaiah chapter 53. I haven't time to go through this passage of God's word, but I suggest to you that there is a study in seeing Christ in all of these verses here, from verse 1 to verse number 12. And you know, when I was looking at it, I was reading a book, and I saw a little division of the chapter, and I want to let you know it's not mine. And therefore, I'm not claiming it to be mine. But the division of the chapter was simply this: the sensitive one. Christ, the sensitive one. It says there in verse 2, "He hath grown up before him as a tender plant," the sensitive one. And then we see him in verse 3 as the sorrowing one. It says, "He is a man of sorrows, and he is acquainted with grief." In verse number 4, we see him as the smitten one. "Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God." And there we see Christ as the smitten one. Verse number 5, we see him as the suffering one. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. In verse number 6, he's a sin-bearing one, because it says, "And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verse number 7, he is a silent one, because it said, "Yet he opened not his mouth." In verse number 8, he is the stricken one, because it says in verse 8, "For the transgression of my people was he stricken." In verse number 9, he is the sincere one, because it tells us there, "Neither was any deceit in his mouth." Verse number 10, he is a submissive one, because it said it pleased, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." And yet we see the submission of Christ, willing to do all of that. Verse number 11, we see he's a satisfied one, because it tells us there, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied." And then in verse number 12, he is a successful one, because it says there, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." And of course, that speaks to us of the dividing of the spoil. That's the end of the war, when the battle's over and the victory's won. And they used to come back after the war was over, and they would divide the spoil because they were victorious. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, he fought the greatest battle that was ever fought, but praise God, he won. And hallelujah, he did it, and he won it for you and me, because the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God, the spoils were his, because he was the victorious one. But the words that I want us to look at this evening are the words that are spoken there in verse number 5, which is the suffering Christ, the wounded Christ. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." I see here four simple things. First of all, I see the reproach. Because he was wounded, he was bruised, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. I see the reason, secondly, because thank God, not only was there this reproach, he was wounded and bruised and crushed for us, but why did he do this? Why was he there upon the cross of Calvary? It says he was wounded for our transgression. That's the reason. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. There we see the reason for it all. Then I notice the reconciliation in the verse, because it says there, "The chastisement of our peace was upon him." Thank God, peace was purchased at the cross. Thank God that you and I can experience peace and reconciliation. Thank God there's no need for war anymore between me and a righteous and a holy God. For Christ has purchased peace. As the scripture says, he is our peace. Thank God he is our reconciliation. And then lastly, we have the result. It says, "And with his stripes we are healed." I read some weeks ago, a little story. A true story of a captain of a ship, an ungodly man. A man that was many times upon the rough seas of life. And he traveled many places across the world. But you know, having done that so many times on one journey that was different from the rest of them, the captain felt there was something different. He felt a sickness that he never felt before, but somehow he believed that this sickness was unto death. His name was Captain Coots. And as he traveled upon that ship, There was something that came into his heart. As he lay in his bed there upon that ship, there were the great thoughts of eternity came before him, and a dread and a fear of meeting God. Oh, many times he had sailed on the rough seas, but it never bothered him. Many times the ship was about to capsize, but it didn't bother him. But there was something different. It wasn't the ship that he was sailing in that was about to capsize. He felt the ship of his own existence was about to turn over, and he was about to go out and to meet God, and he was afraid of meeting God. So Captain Coots called the first mate on the ship, and he asked him to come to see him. He says, "Williams," he says, "I want you to do something for me. I want you to get down on your knees, and I want you to pray for me, because I'm a wicked man, and I expect I shall go this time soon." You know, Williams turned to him, the first mate, and he says, "Captain, I don't know how to pray. I never prayed in my life. I don't know how to pray." And then he turned to him and he said, "Well, listen, Williams, would you get me a Bible? Have you got a Bible? I need to read a Bible, for I'm going to meet God." Williams turned to him and he said to him, "Captain, I never had a Bible in my hand. I don't know where there is one." But he said, "Williams, go off and get the second mate." And so he went off and got the second mate on the ship. And he came in and he came into the presence of the dying captain. And he says, "Captain, what is it?" He says, "Listen." He says, "I want to ask you a question, Thomas." He said, "Will you pray for me? I want you to get down on your knees and pray for me." Thomas turned to him and he said to him, "Captain, if I could, I would. I'd gladly do it, but I've never prayed in my life. I've never prayed in my life." Well, he said, "Listen, have you got a Bible, Thomas?" He said, "No, sir. I never had a Bible in my hand." Well, he said, "Can you find me a Bible?" And they went through the ship and they were searching here, there, and yonder, asking the lads in the ship for a Bible, but not one Bible could be found. And then one young sailor turned and he said, "You know," he said, "there's a young lad down in the cookhouse, and I see him going off on his own, and I see him opening a book. Maybe it's a Bible." So he went down into the cookhouse, and when he went down into the cookhouse, he saw a wee lad there. His name was Willie Platt. And he went to him and he said to him, "Willie, the captain wants to see you." And he was afraid. What was the captain wanting him for? He says, "Willie, tell me this, have you a Bible?" And Willie said to him, "Sir, yes, I have." But he says, "I only read it in my own time, sir. I only read it in my own time." He says, "Never worry about that." He says, "The captain wants to see you." The captain says he's dying. So off wee Willie Platt went into the captain's quarter. The captain said to him, he says, "Willie, tell me." He says, I'm dying. I've got to meet God. "Have you got the Bible?" He says, "I have, sir." Well, he says, "Read me somewhere. I need comfort from a soul. I need instruction. I need somebody to tell me. I need somebody to help me. I'm afraid to die. And I've got to meet God. Would you read me somewhere where I can find hope that God will be merciful to me?" Wee Willie Platt said he was, you know, stunned by it. He didn't know what to do. And then a little thought came into Willie's mind and he said, "Captain, before I came onto the ship," he says, "my mommy brought me in. And mommy said, son, I want you to read something for me before you go." She said, mommy opened the Bible. It was Isaiah 53. And I started to read Isaiah chapter 53. And I came to the verse number 5. "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes we are healed." You know, when Willie got to that passage of God's word, the captain said, "Willie," he said, "would you read it again?" "Stop, lad. That sounds like it. Read it again." Wee Willie read the verse again. Then he turned to the captain and he said, "Captain, before I left home and I read Isaiah 53, you know what mommy told me? Mommy says, read it, Willie, again, but put your name in it. Put your name in it." And so he started to read, and the captain says to me, he says, "Well, go on, son."
Read it the way your mommy told you to read it. And so he started to read it. He was wounded for Willie Platt's transgression. He was bruised for Willie Platt's iniquities. The chastisement of Willie Platt's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, Willie Platt's healed. Captain listened carefully to the words, and then he turned to him. He says, "Son, will you do something more for me?" He says, "Tell me, would you put my name on it?" He says, "Sir, I will." And so the wee lad started to read it again, and he read it like this. "He, that's Christ, sir. He was wounded for John Coote's transgressions. He was bruised for John Coote's iniquities. The chastisement of John Coote's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, John Coote's healed." You know, the captain said, "Son, that's enough, son." He says, "That's lovely." The wee lad went off back to the cookhouse. And the captain went over and over in his mind these words: "He, that's Christ, was wounded for John Coote's transgressions. And he was bruised for John Coote's iniquities. And the chastisement of John Coote's peace was upon him that's upon Christ." Then he came to the last line. "And with his stripes, John Coote's healed. He's healed." And he went over it and over it again. Do you know what happened, friend, as he just went over that verse in his heart? The glorious light of the gospel of the substitutionary work of Christ dawned upon John Coote's soul. And he could see it. And before he died, the captain went round the boat and he told them, the first mate, the second mate, and the rest of them in the boat. He told them, "I'm not afraid to die anymore. For he was wounded for me. Christ died in my guilty room instead. Christ shed his precious blood that I might be redeemed. And all that men and women in the service tonight, I beg you in God's name, as you travel to God's eternity, as you go on out to meet God some of these moments, put your name in the verse. Put your name in it right now. I can put mine there. He was wounded for William McRae's transgressions. And he was bruised for William McRae's iniquities. And the chastisement of William McRae's peace was upon him. That's upon my lovely Lord. And thank God with his stripes, William McRae's healed." Have you put your name in there? Do you not see the truth of the gospel, friend? Do you not see the wonderful truth of the gospel here? Here we read in God's precious word, we read the reproach: "He was wounded. He was wounded. He was bruised." The picture set in Israel's great servant, or Isaiah's great servant passage. You read this and put it in its context. And here's the climax of all Isaiah's having to teach about the servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah's suffering servant on the cross. He was wounded, that is, he was seriously pierced. He was pierced through. He was pierced through the thorns upon his brow. He was pierced through with the nails in his hand and in his feet. He was pierced through with the Roman spear that was driven into his side. Yes, he was wounded. He was wounded. Was it the cross scene, friend? Christ was wounded. And then it says, he was bruised. The word there is violently crushed. Violently crushed. That's the same word. Just turn back for a moment. It's the same word over in Isaiah chapter 3. And in Isaiah chapter 3, in the verse number 15, it says this. What mean ye that you beat my people to pieces? The word there, he was bruised, means he was beaten to pieces. To beat to pieces. And just as corn is crushed to produce the flour, had to be crushed to produce the flour to make the bread. So Christ, upon the cross of Calvary, listen, he was not only pierced through, friend. He wasn't only wounded, but he was crushed. Violently crushed. It says there also in that verse, the chastisement of our peace. The word there is punishment. The punishment for of our peace. And then it says, his stripes. That's the physical suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us they scourged him. And when it talks about they scourged him, friend, that means they flogged him. They flogged him. You know how they did it? You know how they flogged the blessed Lord Jesus, my friend, before they took him to the cross? They would secure the victim to an upright post. They would secure him there, to that upright post. And then the Roman soldier took a whip with heavy leathern thongs, with a metal ball spiked with bone, that when the lash came down upon his back, it would tear into the flesh. That's why the word of God says, listen. He says, I gave my back to the smiters. Or in Psalm 129 and verse 3, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long furrows. Yes, he was scourged by his stripes. And then they crowned him with the thorns. And they nailed him to the tree. Just keep your hand there for a wee moment, friend. Turn with me to the scene in the Messianic Psalm of Psalm 22. And I want you to follow me here. This is how the Holy Ghost puts it. Psalm 22. Go to verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. That's Calvary, friend. That's Calvary. That's the reproach of Christ. Friend, let me tell you, there is no such thing as cheap salvation. That's the costly price of your redemption and of mine. He, as Christ, was wounded and bruised and chastised, and the stripes were upon him. But why?
Lord, why did you allow man to do it? Why did you allow them to put the crown of thorns upon your brow and take that reed and mock you as if it were a scepter? Why did you allow them to tear the robe from off your back and tie you to the post and whip you and lash you? And remember, it was Roman soldiers. They didn't stop like others at 39 stripes. No, they kept on going.
Because the practice was this: a Roman soldier, he knew what he was doing because he had beat a man until he was an inch from death. But he wouldn't let him die because he had to be crucified. He'd take him to the verge of death in his suffering and then release him to take him out to be put on a tree. Lord, why did you do that? Why was he there on that whole hill crag of Calvary? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone. He died alone in the darkness, because there was a darkness surrounded that cross, friend. Because when man had finished, God the Father, a righteous and a holy God, drew that sword of infinite justice and took it out of its sheath and plunged it into the bosom of his own Son to pay the price of our redemption. Why? The answer's in the verse, friend. He was wounded for our. You know what that is? For you and me. For you and me. That's why he hung there. That's why he died. That's why he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Because of you and me. Our brother quoted the verse. He came to seek and to save you and me that's lost. Is that not love? Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God despaired there at Calvary. Our transgressions. The greatest demonstration of God's love is the cross. Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross, he was wounded for me. Oh, friend, let me tell you, that's the good news. You don't need to perish. You don't need to die in your sin. You don't need to fear meeting God. Because listen, notice the third thing quickly, the reconciliation. Because there upon the cross of Calvary, thank God, he settled the account. There upon the cross of Calvary, for me, my Savior purchased reconciliation. Peace with God. Hi, friend. Through the blood of his cross. Do you know why it had to happen? Because, friend, let me tell you, you and I weren't at peace with God. We were at enmity. We were enemies of God. All we like sheep have gone astray, it says in that verse number 6.
We have turned every man to his own way. We didn't want God's way. We didn't see any need of God's way. We just took our own way.
And yet the sad reality is this. There's people in this service tonight, and you're still doing it. You're still doing it. In spite of all that God did in giving a son, in spite of all that Jesus did by dying upon the cross, in spite of all that the Holy Spirit has done in speaking to your heart, you've turned everyone to your own way. You've turned your back on God and God's Son and God's demonstration of his love at the hill called Calvary. And you're saying, God, I don't need your way. I'll go mine. Let me tell you, friend, and you can do it. But you'll never know peace with God. You'll never find peace. And John Cooch, let me tell you, as he faced eternity, he realized that this is a solemn thing, to face eternity without Christ, because without Christ you're without hope, friend. And I don't care what you have, I don't care who you are, I don't care what background you may proclaim to have or boast in, I want to tell you, whenever you're carried out, you'll be carried out the same as everybody else that brought you back. And somebody else will have to carry you. And if there's no one there to do it, well, the undertaker will. But you'll meet God. You'll meet God. Yes, the reason, the reconciliation, but lastly, thank God, the result. Healed. You know, I've often thought about what it must have been when Adam and Eve walked in the garden, and the voice of the Lord God would walk in the garden in the cool of the day, and they used to love that voice of God there. And then sin. Sin spoilt it all. But friend, let me tell you, through the cross work of Christ, all that was lost in Adam's fall, thank God, has been restored completely. Fellowship with God. And we'll walk in the light of God's presence forever when we get home to heaven. Thank God, with his stripes we are healed. The disease of sin, thank God, it can be healed tonight through Christ. Are you here in the service tonight with a broken heart? He can heal the brokenhearted. Are you here tonight with a sin-stained soul? I want to tell you, he can cleanse the stained sin soul. Whatever your need is, thank God, it's found, the answer's found in Christ. Tell me, will you come to him? Or will you just leave the service and you say, preacher, I've heard all about what Christ did. I've heard about the demonstration of God. I've heard about the cross. He was wounded for my transgression. And I've heard that all. But I'm going back out to go my own way. Friend, you can do it. But your way will take you to hell. and you'll still have to meet God. And you'll go from God's presence to be cast, arrested, chained for hell, forever lost. And there's no way back. May God save you, because He can save you now, if you'll come to Him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the word that Thou hast given to us tonight. We thank Thee for the cross work of Christ. We thank You for the great truth of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We thank You for the substitutionary death of Christ. In my place, condemned He stood. He sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, 10,000 times, 10,000 hallelujah. What a Savior. Friend, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and God's people are praying, I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you say, "Preacher, you know, when you're preaching tonight, I put my name in the text." Have you, friend? Have you put your name in the text? Realize what Jesus did for you. Well, what will you do with Him? Just as I am without one plea. But that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.